From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. Well, since it is the end of the year, we need to do a special top 10 list of film and television. So who do we have to do that? Our very own resident movie critic and, of course, host of Morning Edition, the very lovely George Prentice. George, I think this is one of my favorite segments of the entire year. Also, I would put this in my top if I could.
Pressure's on. Happy holidays, Gemma.
Happy holidays to you. Okay, so you're going to go through the top 10 of movies and television.
Yes, again, totally subjective. I readily admit I haven't included probably a lot of people's favorites. These touched me in one form or another. I'll try to justify my top 10, but what do you say? Here we go. Let's start number 10. A little seen film, but I loved it. Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris, an historical comedy drama adaptation of a novel from the mid-1950s, Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. The film stars Leslie Manville, a cleaning woman who used her life savings and her late husband's war pension to live her dream, to go to Paris and buy a gown from the House of Chanel. I adored this film. Let's listen.
Excuse me, dear. I'm after a frock, one of them £500 ones.
You had the wrong dress.
Please, let me escort you out.
No, hang on a minute. I've saved every penny scrubbing floors so I can buy this frock.
Excuse me, but it would be my honor to have you view the collection as my guest.
Ni tout cela, ni rien au monde.
Oh, that's
your dress is designed to astonish.
How will you do that, Mrs. Harris?
You are nobody, invisible.
You dared to follow your dreams, Mrs. Harris.
Bravo. This is not possible, not at all.
Where are you going, Mrs. Harris?
To see the boss.
Mrs. Harris, these are for you from Monsieur Le Marquis.
I've spent too long on my own, wishing my life away. You don't want to do the same thing.
This is your chance.
I have never encountered anyone like you.
Come on, girls, follow me.
Today there's a new woman, a modern woman.
I thought it was too late. Now I'm not so sure.
Who's that bloke?
Looks the master himself, Monsieur Dior.
He looks like my milkman.
Mr. Dior looks like her milkman. By the way, this holiday season, this film is currently streaming on Peacock. It was an art house hit, the first film ever to be filmed inside Dior, with full cooperation from Dior. And with some of the original designs. I think Leslie Manville will be a dark horse nominee for Best Actress in the Oscars. Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. It probably slid under most people's radar. Look for it. It's currently streaming on Peacock. Okay, number 9. Gemma, I have a very odd mashup now. The film Elvis and Saturday Night Live. Now, Elvis was the big Baz Luhrmann biofilm, right? That came out over the summer about actor Elvis Presley and his relationship with Colonel Tom Parker. Tom Hanks played Colonel Tom Parker, but Austin Butler played Elvis, and he was quite wonderful. And he ended up hosting the final Saturday Night Live of the season. The most coveted slot, the Christmas episode last weekend, where he serenaded Cecily Strong. It was her final.
That's right.
It was her final episode, and he serenaded her with "Blue Christmas." Listen to him and how much he sounds like Elvis.
We'll have a blue Christmas without you. We'll be so blue, just thinking about you. All the sketches with dogs, oh, and a gal, I got one too. Won't be the same, dear.
my gosh, all the sketches with dogs. Austin Butler as Elvis. He was fabulous in Elvis, and I think an inspired choice as a host for SNL. A lot of people probably didn't know him before Saturday if they had not seen the film. I think a lot of people are thinking, who is this young man who sounds like Elvis Presley? Austin Butler is a star in the making, and if you have not heard him sing, check out the movie. Of course, the soundtrack is online. It's a big hit, but somehow Elvis made it to Saturday Night Live in the final episode of the season. Okay, here we go. Number eight. Another film under the radar. I loved this film, The Phantom of the Open. I don't know if you remember this one, Gemma. This was the story of Maurice Flitcroft, an unrelenting optimist. True story. Somehow he managed to gain entry to the British Open Golf Championship in 1976 and ended up shooting the worst record in the history of golf. It's a great, funny, true story starring Mike Rylance. Let's listen.
And that one was for the title.
Golf.
Golf.
I'm going to have a crack at the British Open.
Just remember, whatever happens, no one can say you didn't try.
Please welcome on the tee, Maurice Flitcroft.
Where is it?
Oh, God.
How does it feel to have shot the worst round in the history of the Open?
That's hard to tell. It's the first round I've ever played.
The very first round of golf. It somehow he got into the British Open. How he did it is hilarious. Find this movie. It's called The Phantom of the Open. It's light. It's lyrical. It's feel good. Exactly what you might expect from an underdog sports film. Phantom of the Open, starring Mark Rylance. Look for that. Okay, here we go. This one is very special. Number seven. It is the upcoming 45th annual Kennedy Center Honors, which will be aired on CBS next week. Gemma, you and I have talked over the years about the Kennedy Center Honors.
Yeah.
Maybe the best honor ceremony. It almost transcends the idea of an award show. It is so classy. It is held in the presence of the president, all the heads of state in Washington, D.C. This year, the honorees are Gladys Knight, Amy Grant, George Clooney, Tanya Leone, and you two. You know, there aren't too many people who would be honored by the president of the United States and Julia Roberts, except if you're George Clooney.
Academy Awards. One of only three people nominated in six different categories. He portrays iconic characters. An heroic doctor, daring astronaut, a wisecracking con man. The list goes on. He's never forgotten before the fame back home what it was like back in Kentucky and Ohio as a kid. A kid with dyslexia, college dropout figuring out life. He chases a new dream in Hollywood, working on a tobacco farm to earn some scratch, sleeping in his friend's closet with nowhere to go until he finally gets his break. No matter where he is or what he does, he always remembers where he came from. He travels to war zones to end genocides and war crimes, exposes war profiteers. He knows that work remains unfinished. Yet, he is unrelenting and undaunted. That's character in real life, and that's George Clooney.
A Renaissance man, one who has wide interests and excels in many fields. Now, to be a Renaissance man, it is said one must possess these six characteristics: to be knowledgeable, artistic, physical, intelligent, social, and, well, cool.
Six things. So I think that's worth repeating. You must be knowledgeable, artistic, physical, intellectual, social, and cool.
There you go.
George Clooney, did you know he was dyslexic? I had no idea, and worked in a Kentucky tobacco farm. And of course, he's George Clooney. Well,
you know, the thing that I've always appreciated about him, though, was he came into his fame. I mean, not late in life, but later than so many people.
Yep.
And I think that it gave him such a better worldview, right? And I think with his dad then having been a local television news anchor, he kind of grew up seeing, you know, celebrity, right, on a smaller scale. I just, not only is he good looking, I just think he's fabulous as a human being.
What's wonderful about George Clooney is that when he's in Washington, D.C., he is called Amal Clooney's husband.
That's right.
Is an amazing, world-changing woman. By the way, let's talk just for a second about Gladys Knight. Mm-hmm. The tribute to Gladys Knight. So I've got an inside tease of what we will hear at the Kennedy Center Honors. Think of the songs of Gladys Knight. So here we're going to listen to Ariana DeBose, Mickey Guyton, and Garth Brooks as you have never heard them before in a tribute to Gladys Knight. Let's listen.
I bet you're wondering how I knew.
So this is Ariana DeBose. Fantastic.
With some other girl you knew before. Between the two of us girls, you know I loved you more. It took me by surprise, I must say. When I found out yesterday, don't you know that I heard it through the grapevine?
Oh, I heard it through the grapevine.
Not much alone.
I've had much.
And this is Mickey Guyton.
Of life's ups and downs, but fate's been kind. The downs have been few. I guess you could say I've been lucky. I guess you could say that it's all.
And this is Garth Brooks.
Too much for the man.
Too much for the man. He couldn't make it.
Now he's leaving a life he's come to know. Oh,
he said he's going.
Said he's going back to fire.
Going back to fire.
Oh, what's left in his world? The world he left behind.
Doesn't this sound great? The Kennedy Center Honors will air 1 week from tonight on CBS. I got an advance copy, and this year will blow you away. The music, the stars that show up to honor George Clooney and you two, and of course, the music of Gladys Knight. Wow. It's
amazing.
1 week from tonight. Okay, here we go. Number six. There is probably one absolute sure bet for this year's Oscars, and that is Cate Blanchett for Best Actress nominee for Tar. She portrays a world-class orchestra conductor, an EGOT winner. Character has won an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony, but she has more baggage than the Titanic. She is in perfect command. Tar is a psychological drama with more secrets. My goodness, it's a must-see film. Here's just a taste of Cate Blanchett, and you can almost hear the power in her voice.
Time is the thing. Uh-huh. Time is the essential piece of interpretation. You cannot start without me. See, I start the clock. Now, my left hand... It shapes, but my right hand, the second hand, marks time and moves it forward. However, unlike a clock, sometimes my second hand stops, which means that time stops. Now, the illusion is that, like you, I'm responding to the orchestra in real time, making the decision about the right moment to restart the thing or reset it or throw time out the window altogether. The reality is that right from the very beginning, I know precisely what time it is and the exact moment that you and I will arrive at our destination together.
Tar is a must-see. It has a jaw-dropping surprise ending people are still talking about. I will not spoil it here. You've got to check it out, if nothing other than for her performance. Cate Blanchett already has two Oscars. She may be on her way to a third. It is called Tar. You can rent the film now. It's also still in theaters, but it is a definite Oscar nominee.
We're down to the final five.
And so let's go to number five. Okay. Only Murders in the Building.
Oh my gosh. I love this. I love this so much.
I adore this. Most people 20 years old and younger ask, now who are those two old guys with Selena Gomez? But the rest of us, we're having the time of our lives watching Steve Martin and Martin Short. All three are executive producers. This year was season two on Hulu. I didn't think it was possible, but it only gets funnier. The cameos are hilarious in the most recent season, and here are the terrific trio.
She was right in front of us all along. The storyteller artist framing us to get the hell out of her podcast lane.
But now how do we get her?
It's not going to be easy, but I have a plan.
Ooh, what?
I'm sorry. I thought a plan would come to me in that moment. But no, nothing. Although, oh, no. We need to unravel Cinda what's the thing that unravels? No, we just need to find the thing that unravels Cinda so she slips up and reveals herself as a killer.
Oh, that's good.
What's the one thing we know drives Cinda crazy?
A sweater.
A sweater drives Cinda crazy?
No. A sweater unravels, dear. Try to keep up.
Poppy, her assistant, who drives her crazy.
No, that's the word I was looking for. Unravels like a mystery.
No, I like sweater better.
A sweater, yeah.
No, a sweater is better because you catch your mystery.
Have both of you had strokes or have I?
I adore Only Murders in the Building. Steve Martin, by the way, announced this year that he was very close to retirement and that this project might be his last. So let's hope Only Murders in the Building runs forever. It's on Hulu.
I agree.
I think it's hilarious. You think it's improvised, but knowing Steve Martin and Martin Short, it's all on the page. And who would have thought that Selena Gomez would keep up with these two masters of comedy? I can't recommend it enough. And it's a huge hit for all generations because
it's
of the
stars. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Number four.
I could talk about it all day.
The Fablements. Well, Gemma, it was an early September morning. I was walking down the middle of King Street in Toronto, normally one of the busiest streets in the world, but nobody was out. It was about 5 in the morning, but I was destined to be first in line to see a secret screening of The Fablements just for a select few. Steven Spielberg's film about becoming, well, Steven Spielberg. It did not disappoint. I love the film. I would recommend it to anyone who loves movies. The first scene is a young Sammy Fableman going to his first movie with his parents. The movie was The Greatest Show on Earth, which has this terrifying but spectacular train crash. And little Sammy just can't get it out of his head. He goes home. He tries to recreate it with his toy trains. And one day his mom, played by Michelle Williams, gives him a wind-up movie camera to capture the excitement, and movies would never be the same.
Sammy, we're going to use Daddy's camera to film it. We'll only crash the train once, okay? Then after we get the film developed, you can watch it crash over and over till it's not so scary anymore. And your real train won't ever get broken. One more thing, Dolly. Let's not tell your father. It'll be our secret movie, just yours and mine.
Well, there would be a few things they wouldn't tell his father.
Okay.
So I was lucky to be there after the film, and I had an opportunity to ask Mr. Spielberg, yes, I called him Mr. Spielberg, a question about how the stars aligned to finally tell his own story. And it turns out that COVID impacted him as much as anyone.
COVID, and I just remember as the death tolls mounted and we kept watching the reports of what was happening throughout the country and the world, I kept thinking, well, what is this going to mean for humanity? How far is this pandemic going to actually take us? And I kept thinking, well, if I'm going to tell a story that I've always wanted to tell, because I didn't know where this was going, and I thought, this is something I got to get out of me now. And I was also of an age where, before any of the vaccines, I was in that vulnerable, you know, in my early 70s then. You know, I've been very sad in my life at times. I've been, you know, all of us have in our family. Divorce is something that traumatizes you. And I've, you know, I set out to tell the story of my mom and dad's divorce when I made E.T. And I had written some pages about the divorce, and then I got carried away because, you know, putting something between me and reality. So I put an alien between me and the reality of the divorce.
So, yes, there are moments of E.T. and even Raiders of the Lost Ark that show up in this film. And all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, my gosh, that's how this inspired this and this inspired that.
Yeah.
The Fabelmans is playing everywhere now. It is also available to rent online, but I highly encourage you to see it on the big screen. If you love movies, you will adore The Fabelmans. And Gemma, sometimes it is such a privilege to see a film at a special screening, and I consider this one of the greatest privileges I've ever had.
Hmm. Oh, I can't wait to see it, George.
Okay.
Really can't.
Number
okay.
Three. I am the last person on the planet that the Marvel Universe is thinking about as a key demographic, but I gave Ms. Marvel a try on Disney Plus. I love Ms. Marvel. It's the second to last episode of the first season this year, and the episode explored, I couldn't get over this, the partition. Something not enough of us know about, let alone young boys and girls, but this young superhero Kamala travels to Pakistan to go back in time, help save her great-grandmother during the partition, and understand where true power comes from. Equally powerful in that same episode was when Kamala was back home in America. She's sitting outside with her father, who is trying to come to grips with the fact that his daughter is a superhero. But he also tells her about the origin of her name, Kamala.
So, you are now the great new superhero called... Called what?
I'm still figuring it out.
Of course you are. Hey, we're all still figuring it out. But you save people, Kamala. And if you saved one life, well, you saved the world. Do you know why we named you Kamala? Your mother and I tried for years to have a second child. And then you came. You were just so perfect. That's what Kamal means in Arabic. Perfect. But in Urdu, it's more like... What's the word? Wonder. Marvel. Kamal means marvel.
I share the same name as Carol freaking Danvers.
I don't know who that is. But you sure are, and always have been, our own little Miss Marvel. No.
I love you.
You do.
And it seems like that I never would have expected from a Marvel superhero series. I cannot recommend Ms. Marvel enough. If you're a parent, you'll cry. If you're a kid, you'll laugh your full head off. Ms. Marvel is on Disney Plus. I highly recommend it. And I can't believe I'm recommending a Marvel TV series as my third favorite thing of 2022. I thought it was great and totally unexpected.
I love it. You're right. I would have never expected you to put a Marvel movie or a series in your top 10. Okay, we're down to the last two.
Here we go. Number two. It's Women Talking, the movie that everyone...
you've been talking about
this. Yes, and everyone will be talking about, I think, in 2023. I was fortunate to have seen its premiere in Toronto. The cast includes Frances McDormand, Claire Foy, Rooney Mara, Jesse Buckley, Judith Ivey. The story is about women in a Mennonite colony, and all of the men have been taken to jail. They're accused of drugging and raping the women for years. The women know the men will return, so they must decide to stay and do nothing, stay and fight, or leave to God knows where. Let's listen.
It was all waiting to happen before it happened. You could look back and follow the breadcrumbs along the path that led to violence. When we looked back, it had been everywhere.
It is a part of our faith to forgive. We will be forced to leave the colonies if we do not forgive these men.
None of you will listen to reason. We know that we've not imagined these attacks. We know that we are bruised and terrified.
Hope for the unknown is good. It is better than hatred of the familiar. And we could not endure any more violence.
Well, Women Talking opens the third week of January, but I've got some very good news. A special screening is taking place 1 week from today in Sun Valley. Thanks to our friends at the Sun Valley Film Festival, they have put together a screening open to the public of Women Talking at the Argyros Theater in downtown Ketchum. I'm certain that it will sell out. Do not miss it. It is a unique holiday opportunity on December 28th at the Argyros. Women Talking, sponsored by the Sun Valley Film Festival.
Okay, George, number one.
Here we go. Number one is a bit of a gift to start off the new year. I was privileged to have seen the entire new season of All Creatures Great and Small. This year, the amazing series based on the James Herriot books. It will air on Idaho Public Television beginning January 8th. I've seen all the episodes. The new season opens up the characters. For instance, the very stuffy Friedrich, the head veterinarian, is asked to attend to a very expensive racehorse whose owners have brought him over across the channel to race. And if they don't race him, they say they will destroy the horse. And Friedrich steps up and says, no, this will not happen.
Easy, boy. Easy, easy, easy. I'm going to hurt you.
What say you, Fonin?
It's absolutely wonderful. And no problems on the boat over?
Not particularly. Tad rough, perhaps.
Rough?
Ah, well, I seas don't agree with all these animals. Maybe he lost his land legs.
I can't find anything physically wrong with him. I suspect the problem is psychological. As you know, I have some experience transporting horses overseas. They need particular care.
Can he be fixed?
Animals like people cannot simply be tinkered with and fixed like a wristwatch.
Well, he's no use for riding. I can't afford to keep him. Look, you were always something of a horseman. I thought perhaps you could break him.
I'd say he's already broken. Our job is to put him back together again.
And we learned that Friedrich during World War I was in charge of the war horses and how he had attended to, and more often than not, put down hundreds of wounded horses during the war. And in the new season, well, the echoes of World War II and the shadows of World War II come over the Yorkshire countryside, threatened by a new brewing war. Let's listen.
Do you think there will be a war?
I don't know.
What will you do if there is?
What will that mean for us?
If there is a war, I want this place to be a sanctuary.
It's not actually going to happen, is it?
We have been here before. I never thought we'd be here again.
Whatever you feel about a sense of duty, just remember, family comes first, always.
No. What we do is far more important than any... You shouldn't even be contemplating such a thing. Today of all days.
When you find someone you really care about, you must cling on to them like a life ring in a storm, because you never know what might happen next. Now is your time.
How can I, in good conscience, watch those young lads go off to their training whilst I stay here?
You'll protect more people by preventing TB spread than you ever would with a gun in your hand. Now is your
time. But I can't lose him.
Everyone under this roof is in my care.
Well, let us remember this Christmas of the men and women who have spent too many Christmases in harm's way. And on the other side of the planet, we have something that is probably as close to a world war as it gets. So a thought for those families as we embrace the things that matter. And when art can explore the human experience and remind us of who we are, and more importantly, who we ought to try to be, then it is something special. I envy our listeners because they're about to experience some of these episodes of this new series of All Creatures Great and Small. It's a pretty great way to start a new year on January 8th on Idaho Public Television. I still have a lump in my throat the size of a grapefruit. I adore the series this year, next year, and every year. And there is my top 10.
Well, you have given me a lot to watch over the holiday break, George. I am so thrilled you could be here and share all of this with us. So appreciate you.
Merry Christmas and a very happy new year.
Same to you, George. And of course, that was our own George Prentice giving us his top 10 for movie and film. Always such a pleasure to have George with us. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Experiencing the news each day can feel like a journey. With Up First from NPR, it doesn't have to be. Welcome to 15 easy minutes of breaking news, clarity on international and national affairs, all handed over not from some floating voice in the sky, from us, Layla, A, Steve, and me, Rachel. Start your day informed. Subscribe to Up First wherever you get your podcasts.